Radio is a medium that is so visceral that we remember what we've heard long after the sound has faded. Radio is a companion in the night, a familiar face in a foreign land, a doorway to the imagination. Welcome to your musical imagination. I'm DJ Frederick, and this is the Thrift Shop of the Airwaves. Thank you.
Thank you.
couple of very scarce privately released LPs to start off this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. That was Papaya with a tune called Favela, and before that, Fred Taylor and Flutterby's Waltz. Well, this is DJ Frederick, and I'll be bringing you more Dusty Obscurities right after this.
This indie film pick is brought to you by the Indie Film Minute, an immersive online resource connecting film lovers and filmmakers of all different backgrounds all over the world. More information is available at indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. The Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, began making films in 1984 with Blood Simple. Since then, they've been churning out a steady stream of acclaimed titles, often uniquely genre-bending. Fargo, their sixth, came out in 1996, earning 7 Academy Award nominations and 2 wins for Best Original Screenplay and Best Actress Frances McDormand. In addition to other honors, it has earned a spot on the American Film Institute's 100 Best Movies of All Time. Roger Ebert once claimed, "Films like Fargo are why I love the movies." The film is essentially a classic noir detective story featuring no dearth of bloody murders, matched by outrageously underplayed comedy. Using the warm, rhythmic dialect derived from Minnesota kind, a pregnant cop pursues the dumbest ever villains to the gruesome, bitter end. Only then does she briefly abandon her smiling, happy talk. Yeah, you betcha. Who cares if a lot of the snow had to be faked during the second warmest winter in a century? Or if nothing was actually shot in Fargo? Or if many Fargo residents may have been offended? Or if the story wasn't even true as the Coens had promised in their opening titles? The fact remains that Fargo is classic storytelling at its very best. Fargo, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WCFI LP 91.6. This is DJ Frederick, and you're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WCFI LP 96.1 FM.
like a canceled magazine subscription. I'm waiting to be renewed like a corroded iCat battery. I'm hoping to be recharged.
elusive Canadian flugelhorn player and flautist. That was Fred Stone with a tune called Alyssa. And Fred has appeared on Bruce Coburn records such as In the Falling Dark. Absolutely brilliant, but unknown musician. Before that, band called Feather with Be Real. We started off with The Wings of Happiness and Living Without Your Love. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop. We're cruising up and down the dusty aisles of music from the past century of recorded sound.
What could bring someone to wear a 300-pound silk costume covered with sequins and ostrich feathers? Well, in Philadelphia, that would be the New Year's Mummers Parade. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is the Pulse of the Planet. Mumming traces its origins to the medieval tradition of Christmastime pageants and plays. The word comes from the German Mumme, meaning mask or disguise. The Philadelphia parade goes back to New Year's masquerade balls from the 1800s. Jack Cohen is the curator of the Mummers Museum.
Well, the Mummers are a group of men and women who came into this area. They were originally called the New Year Shooters, because they would shoot guns out to celebrate the New Year. They would have the custom of visiting neighbors on New Year's week, and the neighbors would give them cakes and actually put the cakes in a cake wagon, proceed up the street. At midnight, they would count the cakes. Whoever had the most cakes won first prize. Then eventually, in the late 1800s, they were divided into what we call clubs, and the Mummer clubs would go down as a whole unit into the lower part of South Philadelphia, perform a skit, and it'd be rewarded with food and drink. Later on, it became prize money. And around 1901, the city of Philadelphia started the parade with the Mummers to celebrate the opening of City Hall.
The first Mummers parades at the beginning of the century were only 2 hours long. These days, Philadelphia's New Year's parade runs for 10 hours. Please visit our website at pulseplanet.com. Pulse of the Planet is presented by the National Science Foundation. I'm Jim Metzner. Thank you.
new civilization comes forth, with a new way of thinking of old. Time, it seems to flow and go as the thoughts of today are born. Your paranoid changes. Well, sleep tight. And when a new generation comes forth with the same explanation or words, life, it seems to flow and go as a child of today grows old. You say your paranoid of changes. Well, sleep tight. Pseudo-intellectual paranoia blues are cold. Thank you.
sweet clean air. I wish I could write a song to make the whole world like you.
Proof positive that you never know what you're going to hear on the radio, Thrift Shop. That was Bobby Brown from a privately released LP, a tune called Sweet Clean Air. Before that, a band called Ark with New Civilization. We started that set off with a Canterbury Glass from 1968 and Gloria. This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London.
This is Bird Note. If this week's bright full moon pulls you outside, pause for a moment and listen. You just might hear nighttime migrating songbirds. Avid birdwatchers, particularly on the East Coast, use binoculars or telescopes to observe flocks flying across the face of the moon. A fascinating sight. The phenomenon is less easily experienced on the West Coast. Still, you may hear soft chirps floating down from the heavens. Most migrating songbirds, including warblers, thrushes, finches, and sparrows, prefer to fly under cover of darkness. There are several possible reasons. Fewer songbird predators are out at night, making for safer flight. The migrating birds use daylight hours to stop and feed along the way, or rest in protected spots. Evening air is cooler, more dense, making it easier for birds to generate lift. However, scientists believe that the main reason songbirds migrate at night is the stars. Birds use the stars to help orient their northward journey. This week, wander out into the dark of evening and enjoy the bright glow of the full moon. Carefully watch the face of the moon and imagine millions of songbirds heading north. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
This is DJ Frederick. You're listening to the Radio Thrift Shop on WSCS 90.9 FM in New London, and online at classicalwscs.org.
We're listening to the sounds of homing pigeons and remembering their cousin, the passenger pigeon, once one of the most abundant species on Earth, now extinct for 100 years. I'm Jim Metzner, and this is The Pulse of the Planet. There are efforts afoot to clone the passenger pigeon and try to reestablish their population. They call it de-extinction. One of the places scientists turn to for pigeon DNA samples is the Royal Ontario Museum in Canada, home to the world's largest collection of stuffed passenger pigeons. Mark Peck is manager of the ornithology collections.
It's an interesting idea. I'm not sure I'm 100% for it, unfortunately. I'm concerned about some of the ramifications of the de-extinction process. You know, does that mean that we don't have to worry about endangered species anymore? We can just bring them back? Where are you going to put them once you bring them back? You know, there's a habitat loss that accounts for a lot of these extinction processes. And how long is it going to take you to actually bring back a passenger pigeon? Like, to take a small segment of DNA and place it into a band-tailed pigeon doesn't mean you're going to get a passenger pigeon in the next generation. You know, so there's a lot of work involved in actually doing that. The de-extinction, it's not going to have great monetary value, but it is a very interesting process to try and work through. And with the advances in molecular research, maybe it is possible 20 years down the road or 30 years down the road, but right now it's in its infancy, and we're not going to see pasture pigeons flying around North America in the near future.
My thanks to Britt Ray for recording the interview. Pulse of the Planet is made possible in part by Virginia Tech, inventing the future through a hands-on approach to education and research.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the Radio Thrift Shop. I'll be back next Saturday evening at 10 p.m. until midnight here on 90.9 FM, where I've been on the airwaves for 18 years and counting. So wherever you are on the planet, support free radio. And take good care of yourself. Take good care of your community. Take good care of those you love. It's 2017. Let's be careful out there.